times in her life where her bitterness of soul. All of what the Bible says, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She vowed a vow. She said, "Oh Lord, Holy Ghost, if thou would indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid, remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon his head." We see Hannah here. She's praying for a young child. She's childless at this point. And I want you to see with me as we go through this text a little bit today some investments that she made. She was a wise investor. First of all, she made an investment in her family. Hannah invested her life in her family in spite of the fact that the circumstances weren't as pleasant as they could have been. Yet she persevered to make her investment in the family that she loved. She invested in her family in spite of difficulty. Look at it in verse number 1. 1 Samuel 1, the Bible says, in verse number 1, there was a certain man in that place of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zophar, and an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Right off the bat, we learned that Hannah was married to a man that had two wives. A joke about it earlier, but what a recipe for disaster. Hannah was not looking for an exit, though. She stayed in the family. She worked to make the best out of a bad situation. I find that kind of interesting. One of the writers I read after said this, God never said the family would be an easy place to live. Families are great, and they're wonderful, but every one of them is full of people, and therein lies the potential for problems. My pastor told me years ago, he said, "You know, being in the ministry, being a pastor, being a preacher, it's too bad to look for people. That's where trouble happens. We deal with each other. Sometimes our lives are a mess. Sometimes our families are a mess. There will be disagreements, there will be trouble. But the secret lies in not running away. Learn to make an investment in your family regardless of the difficulties you face. It's got too easy to walk away. Maybe our society needs to learn the truth that marriage and family is a lifetime commitment and is worth a lifetime of investment. She invested in her families in spite of difficulties. But look at it, verse number 5. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But, if you underline things in your Bible, underline this with a phrase, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary, talking about Peninnah, also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. She invested in her family in spite of difficulty, but also in spite of discouragement. Her husband's other wife, Peninnah, had children, but Hannah was barren. Peninnah used Hannah's barrenness as a means to ridicule her. She mocked Hannah and made her life miserable. But I also see in this verse maybe there's a hint of jealousy, because Elkanah, it says he loved Hannah. He gave her a worthy portion. The word worthy there means double or more. You know, family is like this sometimes. Sometimes discouragement crops up from time to time in the home. Sometimes husband, wife, children all feel that they're unappreciated, taken for granted. A target of constant criticism. Sometimes people just simply get discouraged. They get discouraged at your family, their family members, what they do, what they say. But may I say this today, discouragement is no reason to close the door on your family. If you continue to invest your life in the people you love, know that in due course you will reap harvest for the glory of God. I stuck this in here because I was thinking about this morning. Friend, you may be here today and you may be defeated and discouraged with things, the way things are going in your family. But let me encourage you. Keep investing. You may never see the results you want, but
biblical principle that speaks to the need today. We'll put the first slide up there with the, hey, have you got it yet? There you go. Yeah, the other one, the verse. That one there. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall also reap. Next verse, please. And let us not be weary. Let's say that together, ready? Let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap. Let's say those last one together, ready? If we want it. You know what he's saying? Don't quit. Don't quit, it's worth it. You may not see those things, but here's a promise from God. If you sow the right things, you'll reap the right harvest. Keep investing in people's lives and leave the harvest in God's hand. Whenever Amber was singing, no doubt a lot of us were probably thinking about that loved one that may be away from God. I was thinking about that when she sang that one section about mom was praying for that one. And I don't know of a family in your heart that doesn't have someone that we love, that we care about, that's not in the right relationship with God. And it weighs heavy on our hearts at different times. But let me remind you, let us not be weary of well doing. Don't give up. Don't faint. This woman, Hannah, she invested in her family in spite of the difficulties and in spite of the discouragement. But also, I get a sense almost that there was a sense of desperation. It's like, Lord, I don't have a child. Lord, I'm praying for a child. But here's what I see in verse number 5 and verse number 6. Notice it once again. It says, but of Hannah, he gave a worthy portion of her husband, for he loved her. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Look at verse number 6. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Hannah did not know that it was God's plan for her life. But let me say this. God's plans are always good for us. You know why? Because He's a good God. God doesn't design plans in our lives to harm us or to destroy us. He's a good and a gracious and a kind and a loving God. And His plans are always worth waiting on. But God Himself is the one that made her barren. His plan wasn't to hurt her, but His plan was to amaze her later on if she would simply trust Him. The Word of God says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an unexpected end. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. May I say this today? God will do whatever it takes in my life and your life to conform us to become more like Jesus, and all God's people says. And we may not always understand it, but God has a purpose and God has a plan for our lives, and we simply need to trust Him. It may appear that the investments that you make in your family are not paying off. It may look like your spouse and your children are not all that you're planning, praying for, and hope that they would be. But can I tell you? Let's go back to the stock market. The closing bell is not rung yet. It's not over yet. Don't give up. It's worth you and I seeking God for what we desire. It may seem like all the giving that you do, and you're receiving none of the giving. For those that invest in their families, the dividend will come, an unexpected harvest waits. Here's what I'm trying to encourage you to do today. Keep investing. Keep giving. Don't quit. The one that you're praying for, that one is away from God. You may not see the difference in their life, but then there are others that God's doing mighty things in. Tina and I sometimes get so wrapped up in AJ being where he's at spiritually.
that we overlook where our girls are at spiritually. I got one that's walking around in the hog pen. And I'm praying to God to bring him to his senses. But I got two others. They're serving God with their lives. I may not see the reaping over there, but boy, I've seen it over here. And all God's people said, it's easy for us to miss that. She made a wise investment in her family. You know why? Because number two, she made a wise investment in her faith. It's evident that this lady loved God. She went to him. Look at it again in verse number 10 and 11. She's at the temple praying. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give unto the Lord, then I'll give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. In these verses, I see a woman who knows the Lord on a personal level. Her faith was personal. Her prayer, her praise was personal. She had a personal relationship with the God of Israel. She was a believer. She openly practiced her faith. The greatest gift, Mom, that you can give your family is the knowledge that you're saved. The single greatest investment that you can ever make in your life is that investment of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not a casual brushing up against the things of God, but a real and a vital relationship with Him that controls the way you live your life every single day. Listen, if your relationship with Jesus Christ is not such that it controls the way you live your life every day, then you don't have a real vital personal relationship with Jesus. Something must change. In other words, you need to be sure you're saved. Nothing in time or eternity is as important as your personal relationship with Christ. Make sure that you make it an investment. Her faith was personal. She made an investment in the faith, in the perfect. It was personal. But in verse number 10, I see this, she was in bitterness of soul, prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Look at it in verse number 18. Verse number 18. She said, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way to eat, and her countenance was no more sad. I see a faith that is practical. Practical. Look at it in verse, go back a little bit. Look at it in verse number 12. Verse number 12. She's praying, right? And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli is the priest. He marked her mouth, like he put his finger over her mouth and said, now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. How many ever prayed like that before? You know, kind of praying, you know. But her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she'd been drunk. Eli said unto her, how long will thou be drunken? Put away thy wine. Then Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I haven't seen you since we did. That's what I've pumped in your wine with strong drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord. She says, count me not a handmaid, the daughter of Belial. That's the devil, by the way. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief that I've spoken hitherto, why I see a faith that's practical. She's going before God. She's laid that out before. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that I was asking. And she said, oh, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and the countenance was no more sad. not only should we possess a testimony concerning faith, we should live it out. Faith is practical. Hannah had no superficial faith. More than anything in the world, Hannah wanted a child. She wanted to give that gift to her husband. She wanted an experience of fulfilling motherhood. She wanted to give that child back to God. In a very special way. She had a depth of faith that's really pretty rare in this world. Hannah made a wise investment in her faith. Hannah made a wise investment in her family. But I believe through her praying for a child and seeking God, she made a wise investment in her future. Because I want you to look maybe for a moment. Let's kind of look. Let's praise through a couple of verses. And I want you to see the length of her commitment to God. Again, in verse number 11, down toward the end, it says, "Then will I give them unto the Lord," notice this, "all the days of his life." Look at verse number 22. "But Hannah went not up." By the way, this is after she's had a child now. God's answering her prayer. "But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord," and notice this, "and there abide forever." Say, preacher, what's the length of her commitment forever? Look at chapter 2 and verse number 18. Now, we're jumping ahead a little bit. Samuel has now been given over to serve God. He is beginning to be a young man, a child, 6, 8, 9 years old, somewhere around that age. But Samuel ministered before the Lord being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. She came up with her husband off the year of sacrifice. Now she's given Samuel over to serve in the temple, to serve God there. She's given him and said, forever. Verse number 20, "And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went into their own home." I love verse number 21. "The Lord visited Hannah so that she could see, bear 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord." Hannah made the ultimate commitment to the Lord that the mother could make. She totally gave her child to the Lord. She held nothing back. I cannot imagine what it must have been like for her to leave little Samuel at the temple. I cannot imagine leaving little Samuel there. Imagine how much she must have anticipated those yearly trips to go back and see how much she grew in a year. But imagine her pride. Not only has he grew, but look at verse number 26 of chapter 2. Verse number 26 of chapter 2. Imagine her pride. Verse number 26, and it says that when the child Samuel grew on, notice this, "and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men." You know what she's seeing? She's seeing her young man, her young boy, her young teenager, seeing him develop into a man of God. Imagine as she's seeing this growth and watching this. She is making an investment in the future, and the length of her commitment is forever. Not only do I see the length of her commitment, but I see her investing in the future, in her future, through the life of her child. Hannah presented her son Samuel to the Lord, and he, by the grace of God, became a mighty man of God. By the way, he's one of the few that are referred to as both priest and prophet. He set a standard of righteousness for the nation of Israel. He had to. Eli had grown old, careless, let his body go, let his mind go, let his heart go. He had 2 evil sons. Eli, no. be like Phineas and Hophni. Is that it? Is that their name? I don't remember their name. They were wicked fellows. Wicked. God killed both of them, same day. By the way, it's dangerous. It's dangerous for a Christian to live a wicked life. The day you got saved, Jesus Christ took ownership of your life. You take it personal, remember, you take it back. She made an investment in her child. Some of you today are making that same investment. Maybe your children, maybe your grandchildren. Some of you bring your children to church. You bring them to church when it's not easy or convenient. You know what you're telling them? The Lord's Day and the Lord's Church are important. By the way, whatever you miss, you know what you're telling your children? Lord's Day and the Lord's Church are not important. Not a big deal. Other things are more important. Be careful. One of the biggest reasons my children turn from the faith to the family, the parents, is because of hypocrisy. You can't say one thing and live another and expect your children to go along with that later on. We're seeing a huge changeover in our churches today. Many of our young people have walked away and put blame on a lot of different things. I'm going to tell you something. More than likely, it's because of the hypocrisy of the parents. The parents that used to be in church or service all over. The parents that get in this. Oh my. You make an investment in your future. This forever. Serve God with your life. You may think that you aren't seeing much. You may think they're not getting the message, but one day, you'll serve God. God will do something. Let's be honest with you. I'll finish. I know that Hannah made the right investments in her family, faith, and future. She exhibited a life of faith that really very few could duplicate. She exhibited life that was cut above the ordinary. However, what she did is a challenge to you and I today. Because the question says, what are we investing in? What kind of dividends will those investments pay out in return? You know, the good thing about spiritual investments is this. If you've been investing in the wrong stocks, the wrong things spiritually, God will allow you to change that. He said, preacher, my life has been like this, and it's been going downhill. Well, stop going downhill on Turner and let God change that. He will let you. As a matter of fact, He'll not just let you, He will help you. He'll carry you. You'll let Him. Maybe some of us today. We need to put our resources in the things that God wants us to put in. The greatest resource you and I have is time. Where we're spending our time. I don't know about you, but when God spoke in my heart through the prayer. Through the prayer, praise, videos, singing. Word of God. Now I've got a question. I had a question for a minute. Am I going to kind of stand or in a barrier? I'm going to do something about it. I don't know about you, but I desperately desire every Sunday to have an encounter with God. That only happens if you allow me. Last slide. Hannah was a wise investor.
investing in my family the right way. I invested in my family. I invested in my future.
I don't want to say that's wrong. It's about us.